Echoing those words, of course, and we're going to start with beneath the cross of Jesus.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within a wilderness, a rest upon
into there is a green hill far away.
Crucified.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. We come to worship you, O God. What a wonderful God we have. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We love you, God. We love the fatherhood. We love your love. We love the world you created. We love your Son. We thank you for sending him into this world. And it's because of Jesus we know and we learn much more about you, O God. We thank you that Jesus came at your request. He came to live a life among people who did not know you. He came, he taught, he was humble, he was so helpful. He didn't come as the Son of God, he came more as a humble servant, willing to serve you, his Father. And eventually, after being mocked, after being spat upon, after being treated very badly, he was hung on a cross where he went willingly for us. His body, a perfect body. His life, a perfect life. One without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And this is why Jesus came. This is why he went through all that he suffered for us. Oh Lord, we can never begin to thank you enough for the wonderful love that we see in Jesus and all that he achieved on the cross of Calvary. Lord, help us. Help us not just to be thankful, but to show that thanks by the way in which we live our own lives. Yes, Lord, we know that we will make mistakes, and we ask for your forgiveness. But Lord, we really love you. We really want to please you. We really want to understand more about the truth. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that that means to us. We thank you for the teaching of Jesus. We thank you for his example of humility and servanthood. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to worship this morning and as we continue to serve you in the days that follow, that we may be true followers of yours, that we might show that we truly do thank you for the great sacrifice that was made on the cross. Our sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, yes, they're gone. And we thank you for that. But we ask you, Lord, to help us. Yes, we need your help, Lord. But we ask you to help us to be your ambassadors out in this world. Lord, the more ambassadors that there might be could deal with so many things that cause us harm in the world today. Lord, we pray for a victory over all bad things. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us in our own small way to be the ones that bring love and bring change of life to people who've not accepted you or not even known about you. So, Lord, as a church, as individuals, may we really shine for you. And as we shine for you, and as believers throughout the world shine for you, may this world that we have become a better world, because it will be a world not just created by you, O God, but it will be a world led by you. And Lord, that's what we would love to see. A world that worships you, O God. A world that honors your request for peace. A world that honors your request for love throughout all mankind. So, Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for all that Easter means, and we want to serve you to the best of our ability. And this we can only do if we accept the Spirit in our lives. May we use the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, may we have the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. So, Lord, hear our prayer, which we ask with deep remembrance and great thankfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen.
So, as we keep our focus on the cross, we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son.
hand over to Stephen, who's going to bring this special reading to us.
From Luke 23, verses 23 to 40. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, saying, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if the people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed. When they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence?" Amen.
So we're going to sing, "Here is love vast as the ocean. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love."
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can see to thy praise. glory. Nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified thee. Thou thyself hast set me free. In thy truth thou dost direct me. I thy spirit through thy word and thy grace my need is meeting.
Continue with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
He never turns his back on us. I just hope that doesn't detract from your message.
Amen.
And that's him when I survey the wondrous cross. I remember that this was a favourite of William. And to be honest, when I sing this song, yes, first and foremost, Jesus is in my heart. But when I remember William, I remember a man who put his Lord first in everything. And he was a man that in God's strength inspired me. It's wonderful, isn't it? You know, songs and readings can do all sorts of things for us. Yes, Jesus is first. It's all about Jesus. But I see in William Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Right, we come today then to the message, Jesus, his arrest, and his crucifixion. I want to think first of all about his arrest. Jesus left the upper room and he went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And this, of course, was a usual place where Jesus often went to be on his own. Must have been a very special time. Do you know, one of the things that I have benefited from in my ministry is by going away, sometimes with a ministerial colleague, particularly with Neil, on what we would call a retreat. We just went away to be quiet with the Lord. And you know, that's given me a lot of strength. Not having to do anything in God's service, but just being with him in the quietness and in the peace of the situation. I can't tell you how much that has meant to me. And it's strange because in my early days in the Boys' Brigade, that company was connected to an Anglican church and they held retreats. And I thought, well, I'll never go to one of those. I couldn't be quiet. But the retreats that we had through my ministry, I'm sure, are the ones that gave me strength and taught me a lot more about Jesus. So, he was there in the lonely garden. He wasn't on his own. He was with his Father in prayer. He was with the Spirit, one God in three persons. And it must have been a very special time preparing him for what was to come. So it was a lovely garden, but also there was a very costly cup. Jesus went from his disciples to be on his own, and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then we read, he prayed so earnestly, and it was as if his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. No, even for Jesus, it was obviously a very difficult time. He wanted most of all to obey his Father. He wanted most of all to be the sacrifice for our sins. He wanted to bring restoration, salvation, new life. But it was a big cup to do. And then it was followed by a hypocritical kiss. Judas came to Jesus to kiss him, a sign for those who came to arrest Jesus to know who he was. And that's why he came and he kissed Jesus. And Jesus said to Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" My friends, when have you or I betrayed Jesus? I know I have. And it was a very heavy penalty to pay, because I've never forgotten it. And yet, I know the Lord's forgiven me, but not easy. We know, don't we, that Jesus was betrayed by one who I think pretended to be his disciple. I don't think Judas was ever a real, what we would call Christian, a believer or follower in Jesus. Hypocritical kiss, then there was a useless sword. When Jesus' followers saw what was about to happen, Jesus being arrested, one of them apparently struck the servant of the high priest with a sword, cutting off his right ear. Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed it. And you know, when we let Jesus down, we need to remember that we have a Saviour who will forgive us. If we've accepted Jesus as our Saviour, if we have new life with him, and we make a mistake, we do something that we perhaps shouldn't have done, or something we shouldn't have thought, we have a forgiving Lord. We have one who heals us from the past. And then there was the crowing cock. Remember the denial? The chief priests and the guards took Jesus away to the house of the chief priest. And outside in the courtyard was Simon Peter, who denied knowing Jesus 3 times. And Jesus told him that it would happen, and the cock would crow 3 times. And that's what happened. And what happened to Simon Peter? Well, initially, of course, he wept. He wept because he knew that he had made a mistake. He had denied the very Jesus that he had been following, the Jesus that he believed was Lord. And yet, he denied him. And you know, if we're not careful, it's too easy to do things that really deny Jesus. It's not saying, "Well, I don't know him." We can deny him in many, many ways. And we do need to be so careful. We all know fellow believers who at one time or another might fail our Lord. We need to remember that the Lord understands us. The Lord is a forgiving Lord. The Lord is a healing Lord. And he understands. I believe he understands our weakness. But when we meet weakness in a Christian, do we think, oh, that's terrible, shouldn't do that? You know, Lord, our Lord, he forgives, he heals people, and he understands that we will come across temptation. The devil is very deceiving, and the devil won't be attacking people who don't believe in Jesus. The devil will be trying to work in the lives of those who do believe in Jesus. So, friends, before we condemn Christians, fellow believers, when they make mistakes, let us be completely different. Let us be loving towards them. Let us seek to help them to be the person that they've always desired to be since they met Jesus. Right, the crucifixion. When Pilate heard that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he gladly sent Jesus to Herod. That was his way of trying to get out of it, because the people had told him that Jesus was to be crucified. What happened when he got to Herod? Well, Herod, with others, mocked Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. And poor Pilate tried to release Jesus from three times, but the crowd would not allow it. And so eventually, because of their cries of crucify, crucify, because of this, Pilate finally released Jesus to them. Jesus was not able to carry the cross, so Simon of Cyrene was directed to carry it for him. And among those who followed the cross were women from Jerusalem who were weeping and who were totally against all that was happening. And then finally, we have Jesus and Joseph of Arimathea. As we know, Jesus was crucified with two men, one on both sides of Jesus, one of whom said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." But the other one, oh no, he ridiculed Jesus just like the crowd. However, Jesus showed his compassion when he said to the one who accepted him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." How forgiving and wonderful is Jesus' love. Then at the time when Jesus called out at the end, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then, as we are told, he breathed his last. And I want to finish by sharing with you, I know some of you have had this before, but there are cards with it if you wish to take one. It's called A Paradox for Us to Ponder. A paradox for us to think about. And it's a paradox of power. The cross is a picture of violence and yet the key to peace. It's a picture of suffering, yet it's the key to healing. It is a picture of weakness, utter weakness, and yet it's the key to power. It's a picture of capital punishment, and yet it's the key to mercy and forgiveness. It's a picture of vicious hatred and yet a key to love. It's a picture of supreme shame, and yet it is the Christian supreme boast. The Christian faith claims that the cross really is the key to everything. God bless you. Amen. May we be willing to take up our cross and give our all to you for your glory and your glory alone. We really want, Lord, our lives to be all about you. May it be so. Amen.
Going to finish with, what kind of love is this?
Join in, Henry's.
Just a short prayer for us. Lord, we thank you. And we want to serve you all the days of our life. And then we know at the end we will indeed be with you. What kind of love is this? This is perfect love. Let us say the grace together. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.
Amen. Hallelujah!
I think I should be doing it for shame.